This, at least, was the default position that the United States espoused during the war. In the Middle East, U.S. officials often found that the requirements of waging the war made it necessary for them to modify, downplay, or altogether ignore their professed devotion to national self-determination. When the demands of Middle Eastern nationalists were seen as conflicting with the war effort, Washington invariably sided with the war effort. A case in point was a political crisis that occurred in Egypt in 1942. By this time, Egypt was nominally independent, but it was under de facto control of Britain, whose troops occupied the country. Nationalist and anti-British sentiment ran high in Egypt, and some Egyptian politicians wanted to join the war on the side of Nazi Germany to rid the country of British rule. Egypt's King Farouk was responsive to this mood, and in February 1942, he tried to install a new pro-German cabinet. To prevent this from happening, British tanks surrounded the royal palace, and the British ambassador flatly ordered Farouk to name a pro-British cabinet. Farouk had no choice but to comply. So here was a clear case of an imperial power trampling on the right of self-determination. And in the U.S. State Department, some mid-level officials recommended that the U.S. government file a protest with the British. But top U.S. officials refused to criticize the British action, believing it was justified by wartime necessity. Not only was Egypt strategically located as the land bridge between Africa and the Middle East, it contained the Suez Canal, which provided a maritime link between the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea. It was utterly essential that Egypt remain in Allied hands. Moreover, at the very time Farouk was attempting to install a pro-German cabinet, German forces in Libya, Egypt's neighbor to the west, were trying to push their way into British-held Egypt. The loss of Egypt to the Axis powers would have opened the way for a Nazi invasion of the Middle East. Under the circumstances, denying the right of self-determination seemed to U.S. officials to be the lesser evil. The Allied victories of 1945 over Germany in the spring and over Japan the following summer put an end to the Axis menace and catapulted the United States into the role of a superpower. Shortly thereafter, disagreements between the capitalist and communist elements of the anti-Axis alliance, which had been submerged during the war, reasserted themselves in the guise of an all-encompassing Cold War. These circumstances, combined with the inauguration of the nuclear age following America's use of atomic bombs against Japan, constituted a fundamental transformation in the entire international order. When it came to U.S. attitudes toward the Middle East, however, there would be important elements of continuity. In the new post-war era, as in World War II, the United States would continue to believe that its own security depended on keeping the Middle East in friendly hands. The global enemy would be different, but the geostrategic importance of the Middle East would be remarkably similar in American eyes. In this sense, we can identify World War II as the real turning point in American attitudes toward the Middle East, as the event that caused American policymakers for the first time to be vitally concerned about the political character and geopolitical orientation of Middle Eastern states and to devise deliberate and elaborate policies to protect their interests in that region.